Thank God for the camps that have concluded yesterday. And those of us who were at camps, thank God for the teaching of His Word. Those who had to miss it for various reasons, look forward to next year. Meantime, let us press on, serve Him. It's so good to be in God's house again. So good that we have breath and health, you know. Dear friends, young people, old people, dear friends, let us all be grateful. Turn to the Word of God in John's Gospel, chapter 6, continuing in our study of this great gospel book. I hope you are enjoying it. Are you? Are you being instructed? Oh, dear friends, the Word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Without it, we grope in darkness. Thank God for the Gospel of St. John. May God help us, help you to love it and to read it and to obey it. Today we are talking of the bread of life, how we ought to hold fast. And this is a lesson taught to us by the master teacher himself. Who is the master teacher but our Lord Jesus? You know, he knows all our needs. Did you realize that? He knows all about you. Your problem is known to him. Everyone who comes to him with a problem, he has the perfect solution. And he speaks very simply because he is the master teacher. What's the use of a teacher who, at the end of a lesson, you get away and say, "Hey, I get more confused." That happens, you know. In university, we have many teachers, and many of them are very good. But sometimes you get this report that I attend his lectures. Afterwards, I come back more puzzled than ever. What kind of a teacher? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect teacher. Please thank him for it. He knows every person's needs, and he knows exactly how to meet that need. For example, as we have been reading out of John's Gospel, remember the lady who came to the well in Samaria? And the Lord knew exactly what her need was, and he opened up the conversation. She had come to the well to fetch water to drink, right? And the Lord went right to the point. "Woman, you draw this water and drink. Of course, it will satisfy you. But that thirst is satisfied only for a short while. You thirst again. Come to me. I will give you that water which you drink, and once you drink it, you never thirst again." Wow, isn't that a great statement? And that opens up the gospel, how it can be applied to one who is thirsty. Then see, coming to the home of Lazarus in Bethany. Remember that? And how he had died and people were all weeping, sorrowing. Who doesn't? Because a dear friend, a loved one has died. We're all grieving. And there the Lord Jesus brought in the solution to death. And what did he say? "I am the resurrection and the life." Of course, we all must die. You cannot avoid it. But Jesus says, "I have the solution. You die. Beyond that, there is resurrection. I am the resurrection." Is that great? What a wonderful teacher. To the Pharisees who always considering they were the sheep and God is the shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And you all want to get into that fold where there is safety, there is loving kindness and care of the shepherd and pasture to feed. I am the door. Is that great? The Lord Jesus is the perfect teacher. To Thomas, who says, Lord, show us the way. You tell us about a home in heaven. How can I get there? What did the Lord say? I am the way. You know, every answer is I. You have no answer to life's problems except Jesus. And when you have come here and found him, when he has got hold of you, my friends, the greatest blessing is to know Jesus, to know that he knows you, to know that he loves you, to know that he cares for you in every detail. Now that introduces us to today's topic. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. To the Jews who had been pursuing him. You know, this story that we are on today has a preceding incident where Jesus, I showed you the map 2 weeks ago, the map of the Sea of Galilee, and to the left lower side, you had a city called Tiberias. And the feeding of the 5,000 was there by the Sea of Tiberias, near the city of Tiberias. Who can ever imagine 5,000 hungry people fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Who doesn't want that? That kind of news spreads very fast. So they came seeking for Jesus the next day and couldn't find him. What did they do? They took the ship to the north, to Capernaum, looking for Jesus, looking for the one who can feed them with bread. Now that gives us the context of today's reading. They were coming not because they understood that Jesus was the Savior, not because they had seen that Jesus is a Son of God. By his miracles, he must be someone out of this world. Did they see that? No. What did they see? Ah, he can give us free food. That's what we want. All right? Can you then, therefore, look at verse 26? That will lead us on to verse 28. You ought to know the context, then you will understand the story as it unfolds, what Jesus is trying to tell us. Verse 26, Jesus says to them, truly I tell you, you're coming to me not because you understood the miracles. For if you had understood the miracles, you say, hey, this is the Creator God. He created enough food to feed 5,000 people with surplus. He is a great God, and we want him to be our Savior. No, this was not what they understood. What did they understand? The last part of verse 26. You come because you have eaten the bread and were filled. Now the crux of the message. Verse 27, and the message goes to all of us here. Listen carefully, dear friends. We all had to struggle for our daily bread, don't we? Everyone who works for a salary knows what we are talking about. We go to work every day, struggle 10, 12 hours a day in order that at the end of the month we have our salary paid us, that we can buy the daily bread. Verse 27, Jesus says, don't just struggle for the food that perishes. Don't just work for your salary to buy the 3 meals a day for your home and family. That is essential, but that is not the top priority. This is what it means. It doesn't mean stop your work, resign and do nothing. Nothing of that kind. labor not, but labor for the meat, the second part of verse 27, for the food that endures unto everlasting life, that must be our top priority. Good jobs, work hard, strive for excellence, all that is important, but top importance, top priority, labor for the meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed, for he is the one that God intends, and God has sent, and God seals, the one that is pointed out and presented to the world, the Savior of the world. This is something that the world cannot accept, and many churches today do not accept. What is it? To accept Jesus as the only Savior, not just one Savior. You can say Jesus is a Savior. That's not good enough. He is the Savior. Now we go on from verse 28. Now you have the context. These people looking for bread begin to ask questions to Jesus. Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Behind their thinking is, what must we do? We want to do something. I was in Seremban because of a Bible camp, Jurong's Bible camp. And of course, I would not want to talk to the Malays there. That is an offense. What I spied there was an Indian-looking man, and I began to talk to him. And I said, what's your name? He said, so-and-so. I said, you come from Sri Lanka. He said, that's right. How do you know? I said, your name tells me you're from Sri Lanka. So I know it's safe to talk to him about gospel. So I opened to him the gospel. End of the time, he says, that's right, you got it. You do so much. You come all the way to teach the gospel. Surely your work will gain you a lot of credit. I said, no, please. He got it all wrong. I took him aside and we talked. I said, dear friends, you need a Savior because he is the only Savior and he is the only one who came because of your sins and my sins. And we open up the whole topic of salvation. And next day he says, I got it, I got it. As though he's now a safe person. I said, wait. Do you have a Bible? No Bible. I said, I will post you a copy of Bible. You read the Word of God, then you begin to know Jesus came to be the Savior. You are hungry. Jesus comes to be the bread of life. Now here we are. We enter into the topic. Please see. So, the erroneous idea in many people's mind is we must work for our salvation. This is what they're asking Jesus. He said, what must we work? The works of God. What is it we must do that we may gain salvation? Verse 29. What is it that gains salvation? Verse 29. Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And now, this is the crux of today's message. Believe on him, not just believe him. You know, the devils believe and shiver at the name of Jesus because they know. They know he is God, and one day they will be judged and punished by Jesus. So they shiver. Do they believe? Yes or no? Yes, they believe. But do they believe on him? No. What we need to do, dear friends, all of us here, believe on him. Recognize him not just as the Savior, but as my Savior. That there is no one who can save me. And the only way I can get out of my sin situation is come to Jesus and say, Lord, I know you only can save me. At this table, you see, that's why we keep coming back every month. What for? What for? Not to sacrifice Jesus, but to say, Lord, I thank thee, you were my sacrifice. And I look to you, my dear friends. believe on him, meaning come to the cross. Look at the Savior. Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and all who were bitten by the serpent came, they were relieved immediately. That is the gospel of believing on him. Believe on him whom he has sent. Now, verse 30. The hungry Jews were far from convinced. If there is anyone here who is still seeking, and I dare say there are people who do. We had people who come to our camp, you know, in Jurong BP camp. And we were told there are some who came 5 years in succession. Every year come to camp. And every year they sit down and listen. And every year they refuse to believe on Jesus. But they keep coming. It's very sad. But listen to this. These people did not believe. Verse 30 says, they therefore said to Jesus, what sign? Prove to us, please. We need a sign. Prove to us that we may see and believe you, that you are who you claim to be. My dear friends, to ask for a sign is a sign of unbelief. Please understand. For all the signs were shown. These people, did they have the signs shown to them? Answer, yes. How do you know? These are the people who ate the food with the 5,000. They've all seen the sign of the Creator creating the food. That alone is the sign of salvation. But people want to see more signs. Let me ask you this. When the Jews saw Lazarus raised from the dead after 4 days, is that enough to convince them that here is the Lord of life? Yes or no? Absolutely yes. Yes? Agree? What did the Jews say? The Jews who did not believe in him says, let's hold a meeting. How we can kill Jesus? Because he's too much. He can do too much. We can't do. And he'll get all the power and the popularity. We will kill him. Please, evidence and proof and signs do not create faith. What you and I need is faith. What is faith? Faith is, if you use that as a mnemonic, F, forsaking, A, all, I, miss I, take, T, take, H, him, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking, all, I, take, him. That's faith. Faith means no other Savior. I have found Jesus. Jesus has found me. I thank him he came to me. I thank him he called me. I know he is the Lord's Almighty because I saw the resurrection. I'm talking in terms of the people who were at Bethany at that day. Not those who went and opened a meeting and said, let's kill Jesus because we've seen him do that miracle. But the rest, did they believe? Yes, thank God. There were those who believe. But here the 5,000 all ate, and there is no record that there were those who believe. But they came, and they wanted more food. Wanted Jesus, hey, you want us to believe you are Jesus, you are the Son of God? Show us another sign. Read on. Verse 31. Now they use history to confront Jesus. Verse 31. Now, Jesus, listen to this. Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. Don't you know Moses? Moses fed the people for 40 years with bread from heaven. We think Moses is great. Are you greater than Moses? This is the implication of this sentence. Verse 32. Then the Lord Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, you doubt me, don't you? Of course. You don't believe me. Moses gave you that bread from heaven. And what did the people do? Were they nourished? Yes. How often? Day by day. Every week they had to gather day by day. How long? 40 years. What happened? In the process, many of them died. Eventually, all of them died. All of them ate what? Food from heaven. What? Manna. You are so proud of your Moses. Now you tell me, Moses did this. What can you do? You follow the reasoning, the argument? All right. Now the Lord says, verily, verse 32, I say to you, Moses gave you the bread from heaven, which God gave him. Moses did not invent the bread. God sent it down to sustain his people who had fled from Egypt, the Pharaoh, and now God does not leave them to perish. God gave them the physical bread, but they still died. My father, the last part of the verse 32, my father gives you the true bread from heaven. This is what you need, dear friends. And this is what Jesus said to the Jews, the unbelieving Jews. You always talk of Moses and the manna as though that was such a great thing. Of course it was a miracle, of course. We don't deny it was a miracle. But the purpose of the manna at that time was to sustain their physical bodies. What Jesus says to them is, that will not carry you through beyond the grave. It stops at the grave. What you need is somebody who can carry you through death, beyond death, give you a life after death, the life that Jesus only can give. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. What is the true bread? Where can I find the true bread that will sustain me forever? Verse 33. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now comes the answer, and the crunch is here. Verse 35. You'd like to read this with me, please, everybody, all together, read 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Wow, how wonderful. Have you understood? Have you received it? You say, well, I don't feel it. Where is the no more hunger, no more thirst? This is spiritual language, dear friends. Whereas you have breakfast, you have food and drink, sustain you day by day, eventually you die. But when you come to Jesus, he gives you the sustenance beyond the grave. Everlasting life is what he gives you. Can you understand this? He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. He is the good shepherd who gives his life for us. All these are tied down together in one message. What is the message? Only Jesus can meet your need. Only Jesus can save you from death. All these other things you talk about, having better food, manna in the wilderness, all these things can help you for a while. Today, doctors, very important. I tell you, doctors only help you to die. That's all. Help you to die comfortably, right? We all can heal you, treat you, and God have mercy, allow you to live a bit longer. But ultimately, doctors themselves die. So what is the solution? What you need is to come to one who can see your life beyond death. So Jesus uses the term bread, drink, water, in order to impress on you there is a life beyond this life. There is a life beyond grave, beyond the grave and death. There is life. Where do you get it from? Answer, come to Jesus. He is the one who has the bread that sustains. Read on. Verse 36, Jesus said to them, you also have seen me and believe not. How did Jesus know? These 5,000 who were fed and so many kept pursuing Jesus, taking ship to go from Tiberias to Capernaum to look up Jesus. What were they after? Did Jesus know? Answer is, absolutely, please understand. Whereas you can look at my face, I can look at yours. I cannot read the heart, but Jesus knows the secrets of every heart, and he knew exactly how these Jews were thinking. Their thought pattern is all known to him. Jesus saw through them. They were coming for physical food, for material advantage. They were not coming for the advantage of their souls. So Jesus spoke to them. Verse 37. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Are you coming to Jesus? Oh, dear friends, thank God you are here today. If there is anyone here who came out of curiosity, may that curiosity be transformed into saving faith. Are you interested in Jesus? I'm sure you are. In some way, to some extent, you are interested in Jesus. But unless and until you come to the point where you say, Jesus, I recognize you, the sent one of God, the one God sent for us, and you only are my Savior. I only want you, no one else. You are beginning to eat the bread of life. You follow? It is not physical eating, but it is a spiritual eating, spiritual feeding. All right, now look. Verse 38. I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Thank God if you have put your whole faith in Jesus Christ. That is your responsibility, friends. That is your responsibility. When you hear the word of God, when you know that God has sent one Savior, and that Savior is willing to be your Savior, and you look to him and say, Lord, I want you to be my Savior, you have received everlasting life. And it says here, I will raise him up the last day. Verse 39. I want to close with this thought. We believe in Jesus that he solves your life problem. What is your life problem? What is it? Your life problem and my life problem is death must come. No one can escape death. But when you come to Jesus, you have the solution to that death, which is the last enemy of all men. Jesus Christ has destroyed death and given hope. When you come to him, he assures you in verse 39, the last part, all that God gives to me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again the last day. You can believe in Jesus today. Go comfortably out of this hall at the end of it. Sleep comfortably tonight. Every night sleep comfortably, knowing that whether asleep or awake, you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And if you should go to sleep and never awake again, there is Jesus waiting for you to give you that everlasting, wonderful life that is reserved for all who believe in him. He will raise you up the last day. When is it? Marvel not at this, Jesus says. All that are in the grave shall hear my voice. So with that, I go to sleep every night. Why? Because one day, perchance I should die tonight, right? And I am buried. But there is the promise, Jesus says, one day all that in the grave will hear my voice. I'm comforted. Are you? You're not worried. There are so many people who are so frightened of death. I had a friend, I visited him not too long ago, and the wife told me, my husband dare not even go to sleep, you know. I said, why? He's afraid that if he goes to sleep, he may not wake up. I said, that is a very strange reasoning. But he's so frightened of death. I said, is he a Christian? Yes. He says he's a Christian. I said, dear friends, when you truly have the Savior, go to sleep every night. Happily, no need of tranquilizer. Why? It says here, I will raise him up at the last day. And this is mentioned four times in this passage. Four times. First time is verse 39. Second time is verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees Jesus, the Son, and believes on him, do you believe on him? Praise God if you do. I say, wonderful, congratulations, you believe on him. You may have everlasting life. And Jesus says, I will raise you up at the last day. Are you afraid of death? Answer is, no need to. No need to be afraid of death. No need to be concerned about that thing. Second time is verse 40. Third time is verse 44. Please see. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Ah, thank God. His Spirit drew you to church, drew you to read the Bible, drew you to come to the meeting, drew you to say, I want Jesus, I love Jesus. You cannot say it yourself, but God help you. Then what will you do? Jesus says, I will raise you up at the last day, verse 44. Jesus promises you, third time now, third time, fourth time. Where is fourth time? Verse 54. Verse 54, those who have come to the Lord's table is again reassured. Reassured. What does it say here? Whoso eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood. All who are born again, baptized believers, came to the table. This is the assurance. What is the assurance? Hath eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. No fear of death. When you have come to Jesus as the bread of life, the bread that gives everlasting life by believing in him, believing on him, God bless us. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, that he is the bread of life, and he is the drink of life, and he is the life himself. O Lord, help us that we will love him. Going home from this church service, we may all rejoice, be comforted, be strengthened, be assured we have life that goes beyond death. So Lord, grant us all the peace that passeth all understanding, that we may all have a calm and sound and assured mind every day, every night, and grant us all good sleep. Perchance there is anyone here who sleeps poorly at night. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will speak to that person and grant good sleep, for it is thou alone that gives his beloved sleep. This is our prayer. Give us all the peace that passeth all understanding through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.